Good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. We thank Jill Bloom for our special music tonight. Also, if you didn't come to dinner, think about coming next week. We thank the elders for hosting, and really, the elders cannot cook, but we thank Michelle Margosian for doing all the cooking, but the elders hosted. And if you come next week for lunch, which is at noon, serving tea sandwiches and strawberry spinach salad with poppy seed dressing. And for dinner, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, green beans, dinner rolls, salad, and dessert, and PB&Js for the kids. So it should be a great meal. We rise for opening hymn.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good evening. Hello. Thanks for being here tonight. We're studying the red letters of Jesus. Some Bibles have all the words that Jesus spoke in red letters. And we're looking at an account or a story where Jesus was at a dinner party, and this lady shows up, and she takes this bottle of, like, perfume. And you couldn't uncork it or unscrew it. You had to break it. That's how it was made. And she broke it and anointed Jesus with the perfume. Now, we're told that this perfume was 1 year wage. That's a lot of money. And you can imagine some people weren't happy wasting money that way. And yet Jesus said, what she did is such a beautiful thing. And he said, she will be remembered until the end of time. And she's mentioned in all four Gospels, and we celebrate her tonight because she loved Jesus so much. She gave such a wonderful gift. And because Jesus loved us so much, we can give him gifts back. And that's by helping others, loving others, serving others. Now, I know she spent a lot of money on this perfume. I'm telling you, for your little giveaway tonight, church will be happy. I didn't spend a dime. You know, the rummage sale is coming up. And I was digging in the rummage sale. And I found this bag with a bunch of party treats in it. And this has nothing to do with the message, but there's a bracelet and a ring, and they both have a big mustache on them. Thank you.
The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and take up their cross and follow me. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Yet forfeit their soul? He put on his clothes and returned to his place. He asked them, and rightly so, for that is what I am. You also should wash one another's feet. Please rise for our sermon hymn.
Our gospel lesson for this evening is taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, beginning with the third verse. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Here ends our gospel lesson. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I live in a magical house. I can't explain it. I don't know how it happens. But every day, even though I throw some in the laundry every night, my sock drawer is full. I never run out of socks. If I run out of deodorant and throw the container in the garbage can in the bathroom, the next day there's a new thing of deodorant. I'm telling you, it's a miracle house. I don't know how it all happens. obviously, I have to admit, that's my wife taking care of me. And I'm sure some of the things she does around the house, she doesn't find that enjoyable, but I'd like to think she does it out of love. I have to admit at times when she asks me to do things and I don't seem to do much around the house, that I'll grumble and complain, and it just causes issues. But I have to say, yesterday afternoon, I did pretty well. We had some new curtains, so I had hanged some new curtain rods. And it's in the bedroom, second floor, facing the street. Got a little step ladder. I'm standing on it. I got my drill in hand. I don't know what it is, but a number of years ago, I never did this. But when I get home, I put on some PJs, okay? You know, in the winter, they're flannel. And yesterday, they weren't the flannel ones. They're more the summer ones because it's warmer and I'm working. And these, you got to tie up here, okay? And you know, I had them when I had a little more weight around my belly. Don Jackson, the church treasurer, lives right across the street from me. I'm standing on the two-step ladder, go to lift the drill up. My pajama pants fall down. I'm standing in the center of the window in my underwear. I hope Jackson enjoyed the view. Serving others. It's not really about what you did, more than what is your motive for doing what you do. Abraham Maslow, he did the hierarchy of needs in 1943, a pyramid. In the bottom of the pyramid, your greatest need is physical, food, water. The next one is security, okay, feeling safe. The one after that on top is relationships and friendships that becomes important to us. And then self-esteem, feelings of accomplishments. The very top, he put self-actualization. That idea of fulfilling one's own potential. Since 1943, psychologists have now added three different levels to this pyramid, and they added a new one to the top. Transcendence. Thank you. It's nighttime. It's the highest. It's where you reach your highest potential, and now you spend your energy and time helping others reach their highest potential. They have found in studies helping others, serving others, brings great self-fulfillment, happiness, and joy. Why should we be surprised? Christ said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. If we're made in the image of God, and God is that type of servant, it would only make sense that there is something built within the human heart that is meant to serve other people. It's our God-given identity. You know, we live in a culture, it's all about consumption. We don't live in a culture that talks much about contribution. This Lent, Red Letters of Jesus, we talked about being, we talked about forgiving, and tonight is serving. Now, in verses 1 and 2 of Mark 14, all four Gospels have the account of a woman anointing Jesus. We're not sure if it's all the same woman or there were different instances where he was anointed by different women. There's little variations. This one, if there's more than one, this one happened very close to his death. Now, the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priest and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. Isn't that interesting? You know, Jesus, or God, had set up the whole Passover celebration as a foreshadowing of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And yet the religious leaders, they're smart enough. We have to do this after everybody leaves Jerusalem. We don't want a riot. We want to do this privately and quietly. But their schedule changes due to this very thing, being anointed. In John 12, we're told, this is the woman, this little jar, as I told the children, you had to break it open. You had to use it all. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Now, we heard about people complaining in our Mark account. In John, it says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wage. Wow. This is expensive. Now, if you were there and I were there, I don't know, if you're like me, I'd probably be on sort of the side of the disciples. This is a waste of money. It's a year's wage. You know what we can do with this? You know, as a pastor, I'm thinking, you know, we could buy new pew cushions for the chapel, right? You're just thinking things that way. And you probably would think the same too, do you think? It seems to be a waste. Well, we went through those two building projects here at Redeemer, and I've talked to other pastors too. When you present that whole idea of change and spending a lot of money, and certainly our ministry needs have changed, we're growing, we need a new sanctuary. But I was surprised at both times. I heard from a number of people, and I've heard other pastors say the same thing during a building project. People say, you know what, couldn't we give this money to the poor? Wouldn't that be a better use of it? Just like Judas. It's interesting. Also, does this jar of perfume belong to Judas? Does it belong to the disciples? What is it in our human character that when we see other people spend money maybe on a beautiful car or a big house, why so often do we criticize how they spend their money? Why wouldn't want a house that big? Oh, what a waste of money to have a car like that. It's not your money. What do you care? Why do you think you have the right to tell them how to spend their money? And yet we do that. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. There's Judas's motive. If you read two more verses after our gospel reading from Mark 14, this is the straw that breaks the back of Judas. It is this, what he believes, a waste of a year's wage in anointing the body of Jesus. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. This is what speeded up the events. So Jesus' death and resurrection would fit with the Passover feast. And it's this special gift of this woman. In John 11, 2, we're told this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. I have to be honest, I'd be with the side of the disciples, even though it's not my perfume. I want to interject, hey, that could go to the ministry, we could sell it, we could use it. You know, sometimes when people want to make a gift to church, they have something very in particular they want to buy. Now, as a pastor, I'm always trying to divert money into certain areas where we need it. But I've come to realize when they want to get that thing, and maybe, you know, I don't even agree that it's the best benefit for the ministry, I have to recognize that's their perfume. That is their gift to the Lord, and it's holy. And it's a beautiful fragrance. What are we told? Jesus said, hey, don't worry. I'm not going to be here long, but the poor you will always have. Jesus tells us we will never solve the plight of the poor. Doesn't mean we don't try to help or try to make a difference. Jesus is telling us they will always be here. Also, he says, she's anointing my body for burial. Jesus accepts this outrageous gift of devotion, almost irrational. He accepts it and celebrates it. He's going to die. He's going to be whipped, betrayed, whipped, crucified, buried in just a couple days. And this special gift reminds him. Reminds him. His life makes a difference. And his death will too. And I love what Jesus says. This woman, for this irrational love, this gift that is beyond what we would understand. You know, we love safety and status quo. Radical love for Jesus, that's sometimes a big step for us. Jesus says, this will never, ever be forgotten. And I think the most powerful words of the red letters, she did what she could do. Wow. Those words are almost haunting. When we get to the gates of heaven, will Jesus say to Randy, you did what you could do? Will he say it to you? We miss out on many opportunities to serve and help people, to love our neighbor. We are told in 1 Peter, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Priesthood, you and I are priests. And what does a priest do? A priest mediates between God and a person. And do you understand when you serve, when you sacrifice, when you give of yourself to somebody else, somebody else's cause, you are being that mediator. And you are representing Christ. You know, maybe a month ago, our positive parenting group, I heard rattling on a Saturday morning in the kitchen. Came to discover many of the moms came. They brought their children. They were making a meal for the poor and the homeless. And I heard later from some moms how meaningful that was for their children and the impact it had. I like rummage sale time. There's so much activity here. People giving of themselves for the sake of a cause that they really don't benefit from. That's a wonderful gift. This church does not operate on the staff. It operates on the back of volunteers, of servants, of those who do ministry like that of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Like the breaking of that perfume. When you serve, when you give, when you sacrifice, when you minister, you are sending to Christ a beautiful aroma. Philippians 2, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to continue that even though Christ was equal to the Father, he does not take advantage of his position, but lowers himself and takes on flesh and blood. This woman gives so much to Christ And he hasn't even yet died for her. You are saved through his death, not your works, not your deeds. You are saved just by looking to him in faith. He did it all for you. Now, I know some of the tasks that we have to do are not always enjoyable. You know, I think of the many things, you probably have the same thing. You commit to something, you're going to volunteer, and the day comes and you just dread getting out of bed. And you go through it and you find such blessing. Jesus going to the cross wasn't easy. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Take this cup of suffering from me," but it was not the Father's will. And he still went through with the great sacrifice. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What? The whipping? The nails? The crown of thorns? The spear in the side? No, the joy of having you. The joy of having you with him in eternity. It is this that should move us to be the priesthood, to serve, to give, to ask ourselves the question, have we done all we can do? Your works matter to Christ, as it did for what this woman did. It's remembered to the end of times. John in Revelation, that I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their deeds do follow them. Your deeds are important. And they follow you into heaven. And they are celebrated in eternity and make an eternal difference. As you go about your week, ask yourself, am I like this woman? Jesus said she did all she could do. How am I dealing with that? Are we doing all that we can do? In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We receive now our offering.
We rise for prayer. O Heavenly Father, Give us a heart like the heart of Jesus, a heart more ready to serve than be served, a heart moved by compassion towards the weak and oppressed, a heart set upon the coming of your kingdom in the world of men and women. You change everything. We want to serve you willingly because you first served us gladly by your life, death, and resurrection. No one will ever outserve you. Even from heaven, you continue to serve us as advocate and intercessor. All this we ask as you have taught us to pray. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace.